kind of look at it, you know, I agree with John, and, you know, it's a living document, and we're going to have to make changes along the way. And I think we should just adopt what we've got, and knowing that we're going to have to make adjustments.
Yeah, this is Chuck again. I agree with that. I see this as a living document as well.
Emily.
Do you want to speak or do you want me to?
Oh, I'd love to hear you speak all night long here, but I'd love to have just a couple minutes. Bill Emmons here, representing the Planning Commission. I just want to say I appreciate everybody's input tonight and the other night. It was, you know, really, really very welcoming. And I only wish that we had heard more from people throughout the many, many meetings we've had in the past. And it's unfortunate that when you get to the end of the road that everybody wants to jump on and make the changes. And I can appreciate a lot of the changes that people have in mind, but I'm in favor basically of moving ahead and approving. I'm not afraid of all these alleged lawsuits and stuff, but I do agree that we should sit down and seriously think, and I don't think it'll take a long time. There are a lot of noise ordinances around, but we need to, and it's a difficult thing to do once it's in place, to monitor it and that sort of thing. But I wondered if Betsy had actually, she's seen a lot of these or read these noise ordinances, but I wonder if anyone's actually gone to a town and called them up and said, hey, how's your noise ordinance working for you? You know, is it a pain? How long have you had it? You know, what kind of problems did you have before? What kind of problems do you have now? That might be important to do. And we might be able to sculpt an ordinance that is fair and it's easily, you know, overseen and enforced. I don't think that it would ruin our wonderful neighborhood. I don't think there's too much noise out there at this point. Of course, we had a couple of incidents, but that's Pomfret, and we're not a big city, and we're not going to be dealing with, you know, potential noisemakers, and except for a few parties and now and then, and 4th of July celebrations that might have, you know, lasted for 2 weeks or whatever. But it, you know, it's a community that is values neighborly friendships and caring. And I think that a lot of that has been stopped. A lot of noise problems have been stopped simply by people saying, gee whiz, do you think you could maybe, you know, it's whatever. But I think you're right. We probably need to stop, and we plan to as a planning commission. We've already been through this numerous times. I guarantee you that. We've thought a lot about it. And we decided, oh, boy. And I was warned off by a lot of other towns and a lot of other planners that, you know, well, you know, you can do it, but boy, it can be a problem to enforce. So I would say that we do it, improve this zoning ordinance. We sit down as a planning commission and others, and we come up with an ordinance and we amend it. And then also we amend the town plan. We add one word in there, which is heavy. And we put that in front of the word industrial, and we do not permit it. And we add in the definitions, industrial, which can be defined as light and heavy. And we go from there. I think that would probably take care of it. I know a lot of people just want the legal parts of all this to fit together very well. But I think that we're all in agreement that we do need to increase the youth in our town. I think that's really where we all agree, and we just are afraid that if we do something that it may, you know, cause huge problems. But I think that we're just overlooking the fact that it's a very small community and we can get along. So that's my thought. I hope it made sense. I appreciate once again everybody's input. It's just been really remarkable, and everybody. I don't hold a grudge or an axe or anything about any for anything for any reason. I appreciate your input, and I wish we'd only had it before. Okay, that's it. I'm off.
Thank you. I think that certainly Harris. Made things clear.
Yeah. Well said. Well said.
I had, and I'm ready to move on if other people.
Well, there are some hands that are raised. Nancy Matthews would like to speak.
That's up to Emily.
Nancy?
I'm going to, thank you. Thank you for all of your consideration. And I know the reason why people are here tonight and is because they value this community. And I don't think it's necessarily argumentative. It's just I think individuals really want the best for the town and each other. And I just wanted to say that. And also, because you have standards does not mean that it will necessarily attract or not attract youth, or to also, and because you already have some industrial uses that may not have been approved in the future, doesn't mean that there's going to be a legal problem with that. In fact, most towns, in my experience, actually recognize existing uses as something that's grandfathered. So I don't think you really need to worry about that. But I appreciate what Betsy had to say about the noise. I'm glad you've given that some attention. And I would like to see the Planning Commission put some more attention to the industrial use, because as we know, if it's not well managed, it can actually undermine the quality of the town. And it's not saying that you can't have it or you can't have it. It's just how it's, what kind of standards you have to make sure it's compatible with surrounding uses, which you have worded, you have language on that in your documents. But I do think there needs to be some more discussion on what we mean by industrial, and how if someone comes in to gain an approval, how what you really need to have as standards within the zoning regulations. And I also really think it's important that the town plan is very important for when you are trying to work with an application. It's your town plan is really your legal defense toward certain uses that may not be compatible with the town. So the town plan is very integral. And I know everybody's been involved in planning knows that, but because of the discussion tonight, I thought I should say that. So I appreciate your attention to this. I know it's taking a lot of time, but look at the number of people that called in on Monday. That's just amazing. And so I applaud you for what you are all doing in this town.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Who else has their hand up? Scott? I can't see the hands.
Yeah, two other people so far, Betsy Seebeck and Endine.
Betsy is going to have to wait. She's already spoken a couple of times. Undine?
Yeah, so this is Kathy Peters. And I just wanted to add into Billy's comment that some of us aren't waiting till the end, but we're actually here because of Zoom. Because some of us don't leave our houses late at night, and it's really nice to have the ability to join meetings from a distance and be able to be part of town government when we can't leave the house. So I just wanted to throw that in there, that not all of us are here just because it's towards the end. Some of us are here thanks to technology, and we really appreciate that these meetings are now being held via Zoom.
Thank you, Kathy. Who else besides Betsy has their hand up, Scott?
I think, let me scroll down here. So far, just Betsy Seebeck.
All right, Betsy, you have a couple more minutes, and then we're going to call this question. We can't spend all night on this. We've got another 20 items to go.
You're muted, Betsy.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just wanted to respond to a couple of things. Well, respond to one thing, and that is, I think the input is late because people didn't know about these last two things until very late. And the first opportunity was the other night for people to speak to it. So I just wanted to put that in. But Billy, you spoke about the Planning Commission coming up with another, you know, some amendments or some adjustments to the document. And I'm wondering if the Planning Commission is willing to put a date by which that would be done on the table.
There you go. My turn?
Yes, Bill.
I don't dare put a date on anything, but I give you my word that's all we will do in the next few meetings. I don't see why we couldn't come up with something. It's already been done 100 times, like Betsy said. There's lots of different towns that have it. I've already looked at them, and Betsy mentioned Wethersfield and others. Pomfret's quite unusual. It's a small little community, doesn't have quite the makeup as of other of towns. Barnards or whatever are pretty close, but not really. Pomfret's quite different, fortunately. But I would push it hard, and I definitely wouldn't kick a can down the road, as they say. I think that the members of the commission would just work on that. I think they'd be willing to. So no date. Over and out.
Emily, if I can just make one more clarification, and I'll make it brief.
Go for it.
I just want to clarify that I'm not trying to raise the specter of some, potential lawsuit. What I'm trying to describe about the town plan is a step in the process that's actually required. And what I'm trying to say is that we actually haven't fulfilled, in my opinion, that step in the process to the level that is required. So I think it was sort of understood as, yeah, we could get sued by who, we don't know who. That's actually not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is we have an obligation to ensure that the whatever zoning regulations we adopt are in conformance and further the goals of the town plan. And I just don't, what I'm saying is, until we have sought out a legal opinion, I don't think we have completed that step.
Does any other select board member or anyone else have anything to say?
Betsy Rhodes would like
if,
to speak.
If not, I think we...
Sorry, Emily, it's Betsy Rhodes. I'm not sure how to get the graphic to wave my hand, so I'm waving.
That works pretty well.
Okay, thank you.
I can't see the little hands anyway, so
okay.
I'm a little long.
Okay. I just had a quick question about process. If this is passed as amended this evening, and then the Planning Commission goes to work on a noise ordinance, how do the two get joined later? What's the process? Do we go through zoning hearings again? I'm just curious about how the noise thing would get incorporated.
We would have to, just as they did with this zoning regulation, the Planning Commission would have to get the document together. They would have to have a hearing, at least one hearing. Mm-hmm. Then they transmit it to the Select Board, as they did with this zoning bylaw. We have to have at least one hearing. If it gets changed in anything other than a diminutive change, then we would have to have a second hearing, mm-hmm. as we have done, and then we could vote to adopt it, or we could vote not to adopt it. We could send it back to the Planning Commission. The opportunities are endless, but okay. They are going to have to follow that same procedure that they do with anything else. Whether they would replace part of the zoning regulation with an amendment, or whether they would just be an add-on, would be a decision that they would make, and I'm sure that would become clear at the time. And please, Planning Commission, if I have misspoken, please correct me.
John Moore.
A quick
Sorry.
Quick follow-up. It sounds like you that I presumed, but one never wants to assume, I presumed that the process would have to start again from the beginning, not the beginning, for an amendment. So right now, if it passes as is without this noise portion, how is noise brought up when a permit is applied for? Is it onerous on the select or the permitting body, or is it on the person? Or, and if there is not a noise ordinance, how do you make a decision on whether something is going to be too noisy for town? Are there other criteria? There may be, and I'm not aware, but I'm just curious what happens if noise is an issue. And I realize everyone has said noise hasn't been an issue in Pomfret, which is wonderful, but what if it is? And this
I can't cite the exact number in the document, but there are criteria for conditional uses.
I did read that. Okay.
And
yeah.
Those criteria, and one of them is noxious rooms and that kind of thing, and the noise issue would fall under that
as criteria.
I understood the discussions in the past, and please, if I'm wrong, correct me, anyone else.
Okay.
So that's correct. We would have to rely on what's called a nuisance legal standard to enforce a sound issue. And just as a case in point, that's actually similar to the scenario that we had with Artistry, where nuisance was used as the legal standard to abate a sound issue. And legally, nuisance is a very challenging principle to apply. And to your point, Betsy, it puts the burden, the town has the burden to prove it, but it's a tougher thing to establish that somebody's noise making constitutes a public nuisance. Whereas if you have a quantitative noise standard that says 70 decibel at the property line, and if the noise exceeds that, the burden immediately shifts to the offender to say, yeah, but it's not a problem.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I was just going to say that's why in the laws there's a preference for quantitative standards, because they're easier to establish a violation.
Okay. So it sounds like it's something that isn't considered during the actual permitting process, but only after the fact if a problem comes up. And then the nuisance is the criteria with which
it would be considered during the permitting process from the point of if somebody comes in and says, I want to have XYZ business here, and through the permitting process, the zoning board can go, okay, you want to have that? Well, the history of this type of business is an extreme amount of sound coming from whatever structure. So they could deny it on that because any of these permits have to go through the ZBA. It gives them the leverage to say that this doesn't fall within.
How can they deny it? I'm sorry, based on what would they deny it? I guess that's my question.
They would deny it because the excess noise would be noxious.
So they can do a pre-decision on that before permitting.
That is the criteria that they are going to use. All of that list of criteria in the document is what the Zoning Board of Adjustment uses to either permit or deny a permit. All of those criteria are what they look to when they are trying to assess any type of whatever that is going to occur.
I didn't catch that. John or Emily, did you say that they could deny a permit if there's a belief it could constitute a public nuisance?
Yeah, that's what I'm confused about.
That criteria, that list of criteria is what the Zoning Board of Adjustment will use to determine whether or not whatever it is that is being applied for is acceptable or not.
Okay.
That's the criteria that they have.
That's news to me. I always have understood the nuisance provision to be an enforcement provision, not a predicate for issuing a permit. But
maybe I'm incorrect. That's very likely to be the case. That could be my understanding.
I don't see why they couldn't use that. I mean, they can use anything else in there to make sure that it fits within our community. And so why wouldn't that allow that? I mean, you always have the, you know, issues that arise afterwards, which potentially a sound ordinance.
Is there either planning commission member there to weigh in on that as to whether?
Emily, yeah. You know, I guess when you have conditions, you can make a condition. And that can, one of those conditions, very much like you had with the artistry people, was that your sound level has to remain under a certain point. So that would be a condition.
That's a condition.
And at that point, it would be given. They'd be given permission to do their business. Suddenly, they make a lot of noise on a Sunday morning or whenever, and someone says, "Hey, that's an awful lot of noise." And so they get someone to come in and they measure it and they get it over. And that's when you have a problem. And that's where you say, "Okay, you guys are over your condition, the limit of the conditions." That's my take. I don't know. What do you think, Scott?
Well, just as a factual matter, the sound limit that Artistry has to live by wasn't set until the settlement agreement was finalized. So prior to that, it was a reliance on a nuisance standard. And that's actually precisely how we got into the predicament we ended up in with Artistry, is that it started as a public nuisance claim. We were sued because a permit was denied on the public nuisance basis. So that is an example of where it started as a nuisance claim. It went through a legal proceeding, but we ended up imposing a quantitative standard that they now have to live by.
Well, this brings me to the point.
That's very true, but wasn't the fact that they moved to another building with their orchestra the main problem?
No, that wasn't the main problem. The noise was the main problem.
Okay, but they weren't permitted to have the orchestra in the other building, correct?
That's correct, but it was.
So that's the big problem right there. That they wouldn't have had the noise problem if they had moved the orchestra over there.
Right.
We're getting off track.
I was just confused.
Let me say one more thing. And this is exactly why noise ordinances can be very, very difficult. So you want to give it some very, very careful thought. As we move ahead here with the Planning Commission and whoever else, please, whoever else would like to come and help us do this, it needs to be really tight. It needs to be enforceable. Poor Karen Hewitt doesn't want to have to get up every 2 days and go down and measure sound. Okay.
I think it's time to, there is a motion on the floor and a second to adopt the zoning regulations as they stand, and we had the hearing for them. And I think it's time to move that question, and we've got a lot left to go. And so I'm going to suggest that we move that question now. Would you like to restate your motion, John?
Cindy, do you have it written down, what I said? Make sure that it's the same. Is she there?
Cindy, are you there? Can you see her, John? Or is Scott?
Her name's on the screen. She's muted.
Yeah, she's muted.
I don't know if she's on the, well, she must be on your computer because it doesn't have a telephone symbol.
No, she has.
There she is.
Okay. Yes, hold on. It was several pages ago.
I'm sure. while we're going back to that, I did have one more thing I wanted to say, which probably I shouldn't, but just so we can move this along. But this is one of the big reasons. Artistry is one of the big reasons that we need this. If we had this during the whole Artistry thing, it would have provided a pathway for what they were trying to do, and it would have given the zoning board a pathway to approve something. That also, with what we spent on Artistry, in my opinion, was a failure of the ZBA to simply deny the permit, which then left it in the legal system, because whether intentionally or not, I don't believe it was, but it closed their door and made it very difficult for everybody. So with better written zoning moving forward, I think it will make it easier for everybody. So anyways, maybe Cynthia's found it by now.
You move that we adopt the current form of the bylaws, and Steve seconded.
Okay, that's what I thought I said. So there we go.
All those in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye. John?
Aye.
Scott?
Opposed.
Steve? Steve?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
And I will vote aye. The bylaws are adopted. And so we're going on to eight. In-person public zoning hearing. I don't think we need to discuss that now. Obtaining a legal opinion from Joe McLean in regard to the conformance of the town plan and proposed zoning regulations. I think we've done away with that one. Townwide survey. Scott, you put that on.
Hang on a second. We've got somebody. Hang on a second. I need to respond to a chat. Yeah, I mean, I still think it's a good idea to do a survey. I think it would be helpful to gather input, not just in regard to land uses, but on a whole variety of things around town services. And it could help pave the way for the town plan. So I would still be in favor of commencing a similar survey that was done back in 2006.
I would suggest that that is part and parcel of the duties by state law that fall underneath the Planning Commission's powers and duties. And I would suggest we encourage them to do that. And I also would suggest that they be very cautious as to how they write that survey, because it is very important to write an unbiased when conducting a survey. It is very important to have it be an unbiased one. And when it is unknowingly biased through no fault of the person that writes the survey, it can give very different outcomes to what you get for answers. But that is something that the Planning Commission is charged with doing in state law, and I suggest that we encourage them to do that. But I don't think the Select Board needs to be involved in that. That's my personal opinion.
Well, I would actually suggest that maybe it be a partnership between the Select Board and the Planning Commission, because there would be some aspects of the survey that we might want to query Pomfret residents about town services that are more directly under the responsibilities of the Select Board. So I guess I would say it not necessarily just being a planning commission.
In Title 24.4325, Section 4, under this is powers and duties of the Planning Commission, undertake capacity studies, make recommendations on matters of land development, urban renewal, transportation, economic and social, urban beautification, historic, and so on. They also prepare